Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Welcome back into the Saints Hour. Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long as well. Happy to welcome in now Bobby Hebert, the Cajun Cannon. Bobby, how you doing today?
Doing good. A little cold, but not cold compared to the rest of the country. And then, so I don't know, but to us, this is like, oh, it's freezing. Well, it is freezing. You got to take your plants in, take all your animals and all
that. Feels like Green Bay out there.
Yeah. Wrap your pipes, do all that. You know, Jeff, you know what's crazy? I was always fortunate. You know, I played in actually Lambeau Field once and in Milwaukee County Stadium twice, but always played like in, man, it was a beautiful fall day, football weather. It was like in the high 50s or something. So I never played in the frozen tundra. The only cold games was in Buffalo and up in Boston, where I actually dealing with, but it had snowed overnight, but it never snowed during the game. So, I didn't have to deal with those inclement conditions.
What's going to be heating up here, though, Cajun Cannon, definitely the head coaching search for the New Orleans Saints. A bunch of names have been interested already, getting interviews with this team. And I know you mentioned Vrabel, definitely one of your top choices, but also, if not him, an offensive-minded coach. Any of the names that have been linked with the Saints have resonated with you right now?
Well, the more I look at it, I don't think we mean the bottom of the totem pole. We're not going to be able to pick who we want because the ones we might want, they might pick another team. I just look at the salary cap. It's like, you got to be kidding me. You think, like, is that a misprint when you look at all the teams that are dealing with the salary cap? And Jeff and Steve, I know y'all on top of that. When I was looking, you know where I'd want to go coach is the damn Patriots. They got a young quarterback in Drake May, and the projected cap space, $131 million. What are we? We're like minus $78.5 million. And I'm looking at everybody else on the plus side. The Bears, okay. Can you develop Caleb Williams? Their cap space is $81.5 million. No, I'm looking at all the teams, and even like the Jets, they have $30.5 million. We're the only one in the negative. So why, if you're a young, up-and-coming coach, and we really don't know the future of the quarterback position because I think Derek Carr is short-term. Well, why are the Saints attractive? I'm just being objective. I'm just keeping it real. I'm not trying to say, oh, we're going to be able to get the coach we want. Okay, we're familiar with Aaron Glenn. But you know who else is familiar with Aaron Glenn? It's the Jets.
I'll give you one reason the Saints can be attractive, Bobby. You want to hear it?
Okay, tell me. Please tell me. I'm discouraged right now.
Because whatever coach walks in here, you can look him in the face and say, things don't have to go perfectly in year one, but we're not going to fire you into the sun like some of these other teams seem to be way too happy to do. I mean, like, yeah, you can go coach the Patriots. What happens if it doesn't go well? Are they going to fire you after winning?
Well, they wouldn't fire Vrabel. Gerard Mayo and Antonio with the Raiders, those type coaches, they would fire. You know, it's like their first rodeo. But I think, Vrabel, you know, you always try and embrace and Robert Kraft is, oh, the Patriots way. Well, the Patriots way was Belichick and Tom Brady.
Right.
You know, that's why we got to forget Sean Payton and Drew Brees ain't coming back. That's why the bottom line is you have to win. There's a lot of different ways to skin a cat. You say, oh, look at the stability of the Steelers. In 6 years, they've only had three coaches. Okay, but there's a lot of different ways. You just have to win. Look at the stability of the Ravens ever since they came over from Cleveland. If I'm a Cleveland, if I lived in Cleveland my whole life, well, that's our team. That's really the Cleveland Browns. They moved up to Baltimore. But the point being, that, you know, I think the more I think about it, because now some fans might get excited, some might not, it might be a public relations hit, is John Gruden. Because John Gruden's familiar with the team. He's been around the team. He's coached Derek Carr. Now, I don't know, like, you know, I'm not saying give him a 5-year deal, whatever. It might be a, you know, 2-3-year deal, whatever. But John Gruden is an offensive coach, familiar with Derek Carr, and familiar with the Saints. So Mickey and all have worked with him. So and he's won a Super Bowl. You know, I like Coach McCarthy with Dallas. All I know is he won the Super Bowl. He was offensive coordinator for the Saints for 5 years now. What did they win? But he also won a Super Bowl. So I don't know. You might want a young up-and-coming coach, but if a young up-and-coming coach like Ben Johnson, like the Detroit Lions offensive coordinator, well, he may have other options besides the Saints. So let's say, okay, am I going to go and have an opportunity to coach Caleb Williams maybe and the Bears versus the Saints? And the same thing with Mark May and the Patriots. That's why I think the Patriots and the Bears are attractive, especially the Patriots. But if their GM does the right thing and how you can turn things around and get a good mixture and you hit on the draft and you get the right free agents coming in, no, the Patriots can go from the outhouse to the penthouse fast, I think, is where they're sitting. Because I don't know, I look at their quarterback, and Jeff, I don't know if you and Steve are a fan of him, but I'm a fan of Drake May. I mean, and I think he's proven he's kind of been under the radar because when you think about it, Jaden Daniels has been unbelievable. You know what he's done with Washington. But you look at who's young, now, you don't have to be a rookie, but the young rookie stable quarterbacks, Drake May is way more stable than Caleb Williams right now. And then you look at the Prince. How about the Prince in Jacksonville? You got to pay that cat $55 million. What has he done? He looks pretty.
He does look pretty.
I don't know, but what has he really done with Jacksonville? So I kind of look at who's attractive, who's the quarterback, and that's why the Saints, who might have to still, and that might not be instant fix, and we might have to weather the storm, and it might be something we have to think as who that nation fans, Saints fans, you know, ever the instant drive-through, that's why it was invented. We want it now. It might not be all of a sudden that the Saints, oh, we're doubling our win total. Next year, we're going to go 10-7. We won only 5 games, but we're going to win 10 next year. I think that'd be an unbelievable accomplishment. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but that's what it takes to be in the postseason. Think about this. The Seattle Seahawks, I'd feel good if I'm a fan of theirs, if you're objective. They won 10 games and didn't make the playoffs. Every team that made the playoffs have to win double digits. Now, if you're in a sorry division, maybe like, I don't know, AFC South, NFC South, a 9-8 could get you there, depending on the particular season. But look, Tampa Bay had to win 10 games. So to me, you got to give the fans hope. Everybody would want to win. Yeah, go 13-4, 14-3, or 12-5, whatever. To me, if you get the double-digit wins, it's hard in the NFL. And if you can get that, you give the fans hope. I just don't know if we're quickly going to turn that around. And all of a sudden, we haven't made the playoffs 4 straight seasons. Well, I think after next year, I'm trying to be optimistic, but I'm trying to be realistic. I think it might be 5 seasons because I just don't see us jumping from where we at, and the youth of our, the lack of youth on our team. We got to hit on more than one draft to go from 5 to 10 wins. I just don't see that happening next year. And I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer. I'm just trying to. Yeah, I want my opinions. That's what I think.
No, I hear you. There's one thing I do want your take on, too, and it came up over the last couple of days, and I think your kind of history of, you know, you held out for a bigger contract and, you know,
a whole year. Right. Jeff, think about this. I held out a whole year. How many players held out a whole year?
That's why I want to hear what you say because, you know, something that came up with Derek Carr, and there's going to be a lot of conversations about Derek Carr, whether the Saints should try to move on from him, take the cap hit, whatever. But he was asked, you know, ESPN's Cat Terrell asked him kind of about the contract, and, you know, he said, hey, I'm not going to take a pay cut. And a lot of people kind of freaked out about that. Like, I can't believe it. Even what? Is he not a team guy? Is whatever? And it's like, I look at that. I'm like, hey, if I don't know, maybe the bosses are listening. If the bosses came up to me and said, hey, Jeff, you know, we screwed up, but we need you to drop your salary by this amount. I'm like,
that's not right.
Right. Like, who? What is that his responsibility to make up? Like, they agreed to pay him. So I'm curious, where do you land on that? Because I don't think that's, I hear guys like, I don't want to take a pay cut. Like, who would?
But he's willing to restructure, he said.
Yeah, well, that's not really his decision. I'm just curious, what do you think about that situation?
I say honor the contract.
Right.
Okay. I mean, like, people don't realize, when I sat out in 1990, I didn't have a contract. I had a five-year contract, and I honored the contract. And I said, this is my market value, Mr. Finks. He goes, oh, no, we're not going to pay you that because we own you. We can pay you whatever we want. You can't go nowhere. And I'm like, what? That's un-American. I'm a capitalist. So anyway, that's the other thing. You had a hard-headed Cajun, hard-headed old-school general manager and all that. I could go off on I could do a whole hour show just on that. But anyway, no, Derek Carr, yeah, players don't mind restructuring, but they still want their money. You know, they don't care if it comes in a salary or it comes in a signing bonus, whatever, because you might say, well, they'll never be in the real world, Derek Carr, when you made over $100 million, whatever. But that earning power, it is hard to ever be in that position again. So, no, I'm on Derek Carr's side with that. And if you'd really players are for players. I can tell you that. If they say something else in public, they're full of crap. They're not telling the truth. And if you had a kid or that was you, you'd be like, hey, it's a two-way street. That's why you have contracts. If a team, you have a contract with a team, you got to honor that, and they have to honor what they were going to pay in the contract. And it's not guaranteed like baseball and basketball. So you got to get what you can. No, I'm on Derek Carr with that thing. You want to restructure like the Saints have always done, and you push it down the road. That's why we're in the bind that we are with the salary cap. But, you know, like, oh, look, all these other players have dealt with the Saints and boy, they're such team players. No, they still got their money, but eventually the Saints are going to have to pay the piper.
Cajun Cannon, always appreciate the time. Thanks a bunch. I owe you a cigar, man.
You know what? You owe me a cigar. For what, Steve? I wish I had a cigar so I could celebrate with the Saints going to the playoffs, but that ain't happening. But there's going to be a lot of good football. I'm telling you, my dark horse, I'm kind of interested to see what's going to happen with the Chargers and my buddy Jim Harbaugh. You know, I know Jim Harbaugh. I'm going to tell you all that story. I know him when he was the quarterback at University of Michigan, and I was the quarterback with the Michigan Panthers in the USFL. And so what ended up happening is that we started winning, so the Detroit Lions didn't let us use their facilities anymore. They kicked us out. And so all of a sudden, Anthony Carter, the great receiver from University of Michigan, he calls Bo Schembechler, and he goes, we can have to drive a half an hour away. We're going to drive to Ann Arbor, and we had practice at University of Michigan. That's where I met Jim and stuff, and he's been great. But he picked the right team. Jim Harbaugh could have went to a lot of teams. Why did he choose the Chargers? Justin Herbert in the story right there.
Appreciate you, Cajun Cannon. Talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to y'all later. Who that?